Hey, welcome back to Ideas and Impact, where entrepreneurs share insights and ideas to transform your life or business. Each week, I bring on experts to share their secrets, ideas, and insights of what's working now to impact their life or business in a positive way. I'm your host, Jeremy Jones. You can connect with me on all my social channels and get the show notes to this episode by going to askjeremyjones.com. By the way, speaking of making an impact through ideas, did you know that 82% of entrepreneurs say they would like to author a book, but less than 1% actually finish and publish that book? Most entrepreneurs get stuck in putting together the contents, or they're not sure how to publish or promote that book. Well, now you can use our book blueprint system to get your book published with just 1 hour of your time using our book blueprint process and a 1 hour interview with our team. So that way you can get invited to speak at events and focus on growing your business. If you'd like to learn more, you can get our free book blueprint guide to go from idea to launch by going to yourbookblueprint.com. Now let's get to today's episode. Today we're joined with Nanette Miner, and Nanette is a consultant that helps small to mid-size companies develop succession plans and help with their leadership pipelines. Nanette, welcome to the show. First, let's talk about how the impact has made for you and your clients around succession planning, and then we'll dive into the first topic today.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. So I don't have to tell you or any of your listeners that we're at an inflection point. The boomers are leaving the workforce. If they haven't already, there's very few of them left. There's going to be a sea change when coming with younger people who are in leadership roles, and being in the world of learning and development and organizational development for over 30 years, I realized about 8 years ago that we weren't and still are not getting younger people ready for leadership positions. So I think the companies that need my help the most are the small and medium-sized companies that don't have a budget to do this wrong, that don't have dedicated training departments, and that need a good, accurate solution so that the company can continue in the future.
Yeah, very good. Well, let's dive into the first big idea you had shared with me, and that is that it's ludicrous for businesses to promote someone to leadership first and then ask them to change behavior. Talk about this one.
Did I say ludicrous?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to emphasize that it is ludicrous.
It is ludicrous. I mean, if you think about it, In my prior life, I worked with a lot of Fortune 500 companies. And so I saw how they did their leadership development, and presumably they had all the budget in the world and all the wherewithal to do it correctly. And what they did was promote somebody to a management role or leadership role first, and then said, okay, now we're going to teach you leadership skills. And that's a heavy ask. I mean, that's asking somebody to change their behavior, not just learn a new process. And to ask them to change their behavior at the same time that you're asking them to take on new functional responsibilities is ludicrous, because we call them leadership skills, but they're not. They're leadership behaviors, characteristics, mindsets. You don't change that in a 4 hour or an 8 hour training course. You have to develop behaviors over time. So to ask somebody who's already been on the job for 15 or 20 years to change their behavior is ridiculous. Why don't you start that earlier?
So what's your alternative? What do you recommend? What should they look at?
Well, so the tagline for my company is leadership from day one. I think if you start training people in leadership skills the minute they come in the door, it just becomes standard operating procedure. It's a misnomer to call these things leadership skills, really, because what is decision making or problem solving or being a better communicator or a collaborator or understanding how the company makes money? What about any of those things is leadership? It's just good practice, right? So why are we reserving those things for people who are in leadership roles? And again, that's a lot of information to understand, to absorb. So why don't you just meet it out slowly over the course of time rather than say, great, congratulations, you have a new job, and you're going to have to start acting differently and learning a whole bunch of new stuff.
Yep. That's really, really smart approach. I like that. And that's a good transition, which you touched on. Big idea number two is that if you start your leadership development at day one, you can make it standard operating procedure. So talk about that.
Well, I like to align it with when you teach your baby manners. When do you teach your baby manners? Day one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I speak to audiences a lot. I use that line all the time. Somebody always says day one. And I say, yeah. And they're not even verbal. They don't even know what you're saying, but you start saying the correct things, you start modeling the correct behaviors, and you do it over and over and over again for years, because you are developing a behavior. You are developing a methodology or a mindset, right? And you can pick those kids who were raised by parents who strictly enforced the manners and the kids whose families did not. So why, again, can't we do that with young people entering the workforce? Why don't we just spend 3 years emphasizing what is good communication here? How do you take feedback? How do you give feedback? How do you handle conflict? How do you work collaboratively with others? And it's not all this one-upmanship that we often see in organizations. You know, decision-making is a hard thing to teach. And most people rely on their gut or, you know, what would you do? Okay, I'll take your advice. But there's like 5 different ways to make decisions, and it would take a long time to teach that. So why don't we start that early and have people practice? You know, is it consensus? Is it command and control? Should it be collaborative? There's a lot of different ways to make decisions, and the right methodology depends on the situation, how much time you have, you know, what are the ramifications of that decision? We don't teach people that.
Yeah, very, very true. You put a note here that I'll highlight and have you expand on. The number one complaint you hear from clients or potential clients is that there's nobody who's ready for the leadership role. How do you, when you hear that consistently, just talk about and expand on that around that leadership role.
Yes, consistently I hear that. Well, yeah. Because that, so a lot of organizations say, oh, that person's got leadership potential, right? Or generally how someone gets to be in a leadership role is because they have a manager who sees potential in them, takes them under their wing, guides them. But we don't do things across the board for the whole organization, which I think is pitiful. And actually, I think would be a big money saver. Again, if you're teaching everybody to be a better decision maker, how is that hurting the organization? It's not, right? Like, why are we reserving these special skills for a special set of people? So when I go into companies, which are usually smaller companies, I don't work with anybody who's over like 700 employees. And I'm helping them to identify who their successors will be for the senior leadership roles. A lot of them will say, well, you know, they're just not prepared. And I'm like, that was on you. You had them all these years. Why didn't you prepare them? And now we have to do this acceleration thing and hope that it sticks. So just start it the day that people walk in the door, and it's just standard operating procedure. Everybody knows the manners, right? Everybody behaves the same way because you taught it to them. When I was in college, I was a bartender. Analogy. And the first bar I ever worked at, the owner, who was there all the time, said to me, we don't give away free drinks. I had never really been in bars, so I didn't know that was a thing. Like, a bartender at their discretion can give a free drink to a good customer, right? He said, we do not give away free drinks. I said, okay, because that was the first and only time I'd ever learned that rule. And for the next 8 years, no matter how many bars I worked at, I never gave away free drinks. And the managers and owners loved me because I wasn't wasting capital, right? I could have changed my behavior, but I didn't, because the first way I learned it was don't give it away. So I lean on that a lot. The first way you learn something is probably the way you're always going to do it. Let's teach them our culture, the way that we operate here. You know, let's keep it in-house and teach them our way, and they're just going to model our way.
Yeah, very well said. Because those patterns of behavior are really like that great example you gave, is that's what sticks with people, right? And so that's where you start from day one, like you mentioned. Very, very good points. So let's go to
that's
big idea number three.
It's hard to hire somebody from outside because they were raised by a different family.
Raised by a different family. Yeah, that's.
I would say they're not wrong. It's not like they're unprofessional. It's just not, that's not the way you did it. So it's hard for them to fit in. And that's why we have so much turmoil when somebody, especially in a senior leader position, comes in from outside the organization, because they might upset the apple cart, not intending to do so. They just operate differently.
Yeah. Very good. Let's go to big idea number three, that you think that small companies, the ones that don't have deep pockets to recover from mistakes, are going out of business very soon. Why do you say that, and talk about what they can do about it?
Well, in relation to succession planning. So as I said, you know, most of my clients were Fortune 500. They weren't doing it well, but they had the ability to recoup from that. If they hired in a leader and it didn't work out, they had the ability to go to out to, you know, outsourcing and find somebody, or recruiting and find somebody again, which is, I mean, tons of turmoil and costs a lot of money, but they generally had the deep pockets. Smaller companies are running lean and mean. And so it is much more economical to take the people who are already in the company and train them the way you want them to behave to be your future leaders, than to hope that the ideal candidate is out there somewhere. And especially with smaller companies, again, my market now, generally they're run by the original owner or founder, just because of the size of the employee base that I work with. So they've been running things their whole lives, right? They've set the standard for everything that sometimes their hands are still in it. They've never really stopped to think what happens when I leave. And I feel like if they don't get on it quickly when they choose to leave or get hit by a bus, you know, the company's going to go out of business because they did not develop a leadership structure that can operate without them at the helm.
Yeah, very, very good points. So let's say a small business like that does not have a program in place, but they're open and receptive to that. Let's say someone's listening and they're in that situation. What's your best advice to start to integrate that into how often should they do it? What's the starting point? Because I'm sure there's a lot to it, but what's the starting point where someone should get started?
Well, what I start clients with, and I think it's the smartest move, is take 2 hours with your senior leadership team and really define what a leader in this organization looks like. And so what I do with clients is everybody just tell me, brainstorm, what does a leader mean to you? If you were going to bring someone in to teach leadership skills, what would you want them to be taught? And I do this exercise over and over and over again. And I'll tell you, my flip charts never have tasks, almost never have a task or a skill. It's all a behavior. It's all a mindset. So that's an aha moment for most companies. And then once we have a list of 20, 30 words, I said, well, we can't teach everybody this. So let's narrow it down to 8 or 10 that really define how we want people to behave in this organization and how we want it to spread to the lower levels. And then once we know what those valued characteristics are, we define what those look like in reality. Like you can say, well, you need to be trustworthy. What does that mean? You're trustworthy and my trustworthy are very different, right? I just did a LinkedIn post today about aqua teal and blue green. They're the same color, aren't they? But we have a different definition of them. So once you know what that behavior actually looks like in practice, then you really can start developing your future leaders or giving leadership competencies to everybody in the organization, because that's not going to hurt you in any way. And then people who enjoy it and like to lead others will naturally rise to the surface again. You know the natural leaders on the playground, right? It doesn't even have to be in the workplace. You go, oh, that kid took over.
Yeah.
There are some people who like to run the show, and that's great. Yeah. But wouldn't you rather have them prepared with appropriate leadership behaviors before you put them in the position where they're running the show?
Yeah, very, very good points. So getting together with the leadership team, defining what a leader looks like, looking at the behaviors, which in dealing with this with a lot of companies you found, which makes sense, is that it's the mindset, it's the attitude that makes up a leader, not necessarily, a task list. Once they've defined that, what typically happens after that as we wrap up this topic here?
So the next step that I would work on with them is then developing a curriculum that hits those important points. So I always recommend the whole first year of any up-leveling of skills is communication. There's just so many facets to communication. Sure. How do we speak respectfully to one another? How do we behave in meetings? How do we respectfully disagree with someone? How do we handle conflict? I mean, there's just so many different aspects to communicating. Business writing, I mean, that apparently has gone down the tubes in recent years. So there's a lot of remedial work in terms of business writing, especially, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but with young people who don't write emails, they write texts. It's a lot of emojis. Yeah. You actually have to retrain their brain. We need a full sentence.
And
this is how things are structured. And this is, who they go to. So I think if nothing else, teach people better communication skills. The second year, I always recommend let's teach them about the business, because so many people do not know how the company they work in actually runs. They don't know what the other departments do. They don't know what the dependencies are or the hierarchy of how the work gets done. They don't know how their company makes money. They don't know how much money their company keeps. Years ago, I worked for a retail organization. They weren't huge, but they weren't little either. They had 36 stores in about 5 states. And I remember in the course of my consulting with them, I learned that they kept 3 cents on every dollar. And I thought to myself, who would work this hard to keep 3 cents on every dollar, right? They had facilities in different states. They had a warehouse. They had truck drivers. I mean, there was so much that went into being in business to keep 3 cents. I think people would be fiscally more responsible if they knew exactly how much money you kept, right? I mean, especially a lot of my clients are in construction, so it looks like $1 million contracts. But in the end, after you're done fulfilling a 5-year contract, what exactly are you keeping in the end?
That is such a good point to know, you know, the value of our company and the way we stay thriving is we have razor thin margins, but we can operate in that way. It brings an awareness to that leadership team of what, you know, we're not just being stingy here. It's like, these things are important, right?
Right. Right. And again, teaching any of those things is not hurting your company at all. And yeah. if you don't make it an event where it's like, okay, everybody has to go to the finance class now, if it just becomes baby manners, like, right, we take the opportunity for 2 minutes to explain something when it occurs, it sticks with people better because they're learning it in the course of doing the work.
So it's more of an active top of mind. These are the topics that need to be covered rather than like a quarterly training or something, or what does that look like to keep it going?
Yes. I think in my opinion, the best methodology is to have your managers as coaches. And that's a whole shift that's happening anyway. But now I want them to also coach people in leadership skills because coaching is more one-on-one conversation and it's talking less than I'm listening. But now I think we need to add to that more purposefully and taking the opportunity for teaching moments when they arise.
Yeah, makes sense. Good stuff. Well, you shared a lot of really powerful, insightful topics here, Nanette. So I appreciate you coming on the show. What's the best way the listeners can connect with you or follow you online?
Thank you, Jeremy. I would say just find me on LinkedIn because I'm the only Nanette Miner there. So it's very easy to find me and then we can communicate that way.
All right. That's perfect. Well, thanks again for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, for all the listeners, thank you for joining us here today as well. Again, you can get the show notes to this episode by going to askjeremyjones.com. Click on podcast. You'll see Nanette's episode right there at the top. And be sure you reach out to her and connect with her and follow her on LinkedIn. And also, if you're wanting to put together a profitable book, but you don't have time to write it or market it or put it together, and you're looking for a system to follow, again, you can get our free book blueprint guide by going to yourbookblueprint.com. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. And I really encourage you, as you're listening to this, if you're a leader of an organization or you run a company, take one idea that Nanette shared here today on ongoing development, starting from the beginning, and developing your leaders within your organization. Take one insightful idea and see how you can put it into action this week, because that's how you make an impact on your organization, is by taking a great idea and putting it into action. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.